want to get rolling a little early tonight. Got a busy weekend. My back, my calves are killing me. You know what it's like going up and down a 16-foot ladder when you haven't done that for some years, and by the next day you're in total pain? Well, we hope you enjoyed Josie's visit on Friday night. Who knows? We may get Blondie and some others showing up here fairly soon. Good evening and welcome to another installment of Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. I'm your host and commentator for the hour, Jeffrey Bennett. Thank all of you for the number of emails that you sent out over the weekend regarding Friday's 3 hours of programming and our lack of callers, et cetera, et cetera, and the positive nature toward the guests we've been having on. And there'll be more of them. We've got two guests scheduled coming up this week. Roger, of course, will be with us again on Wednesday. And each time he comes on, we begin to take the program in a somewhat different direction. It's going to continue to get interesting. Thursday night, a very special guest. We'll talk about him time allowing later in the hour. Otherwise, it'll hold till tomorrow night. Let's take a fast look at some market reports because I'm going to move in a wildly different direction again tonight with another marvelous history lesson. Wall Street didn't have a very good day. They started having some gains and all of a sudden fell flat on their butts. They wound up with a one-point gain, closing at 11,953. NASDAQ off four to close at 2640. S&P 500 up a point to end their day at 1272. Global Dow currently down 35. Gold did not have a particularly good day, nor did silver. The metals across the boards, commodities in general, did very poorly today, along with the paper markets. Even oil down 35 cents, currently at $96.95 a barrel. Let's keep moving in on Labor Day, and you can start jacking it right back up again. Over on the metal side of the aisle, if I can get there quickly enough before we go to the break, let's see what we wind up doing. It is the after hours. Market opened down, kept on going that way all day. Oops, now it's after hours. Rhodium, even at $1,900. That's down a couple hundred bucks from where it was last week. Palladium up three at $7.95 in the aftermarket. Platinum up $5 at $1,801. Notice that once the American markets close and it begins to move around the rest of the world, it starts going back up again. Sounds like what's going on in the American market is not just manipulation, but brokers telling people, get out of that stuff, you're going to lose your assets. Silver up 18 cents in the aftermarket at $34.94. And gold, you know, $1,516, came down quite a bit. And you know what? That just makes it good. Over at RepublicTradingGroupInternational.com, we have posted part three of our continuing essay about Edwin D. Taylor. Edmund D. Taylor, the conspiracy theory, ties in Lincoln, Kennedy, the Greenback, all sorts of good stuff. We'll be back. We're going to give History Lesson 101, version 365 tonight.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372, or visit terravim.com.
One of the most amazing guitarists that I've ever been privileged to see live, Mark Whitfield, playing Harlem Nocturne. Welcome back to Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. Oh, yeah, we'll get back to publishing financial headlines and commentaries and jazz videos. I've got an amazing selection of videos that have come to us. May even start putting a little bit more information up there about the particular musicians and the players, the piece, whatever. I have all that information here. If you've ever set foot in a bookstore, you're bound to have seen them. Row upon row, these books for idiots and dummies. Yeah, there used to be a series of books, Chicken Soup for whatever. There's books for understanding computer programs, personal finance, income tax preparation, and a whole slew of other topics designed to ease you through the subject of your choice or the subject du jour. Believe it or not, there's even a book entitled Constitution for Dummies, which is supposed to help you in your understanding of our nation's Constitution. Now, I don't know how effective these books would be at explaining the intricacies of our Constitution, but somebody needs to do something to explain to the people of this country the function of what is supposed to be our government. That is, if it already isn't too late. You see, our nation didn't just pop up out of nowhere. We were once subject to the English crown. Numerous laws and acts and taxes were imposed upon the colonists and were enforced by subjects loyal to the crown or by the king's army who were stationed here to maintain order. On many occasions, the colonists petitioned the king, voicing their grievances, only to have their petitions fall upon deaf ears. And when the burden of these laws and taxes became so grievous, and the king's army decided to disarm the colonists at Lexington and Concord, war broke out between those who valued their liberty and those who wished to continue to oppress the colonists. Well, not everyone supportive of the war. Some sided with the crown, while others remained neutral. And yet eventually the colonists were successful in gaining their independence, and, well, we pretty much know the rest of the story. A new nation, in fact, was born. For the first time in history, a nation born out of a struggle for independence would be able to create their own system of government aimed at safeguarding those liberties which were paid for with the price of the blood of their patriot brethren. Now, their first attempt failed in that it was endowed with too few powers to manage the affairs of the new nation. So a gathering of men came together and over the course of the summer of 1787 drafted our nation's constitution. In less than 6,000 words, my friends, these men had written a document which breathed life into our system of government. Now, at the end of the convention, Ben Franklin had the following read to the delegates assembled. He stated that in these sentiments, sir, I agree to this constitution with all its faults, if they are such, because I think a general government necessary for us. And there is no form of government but what may be a blessing to the people if well administered. And believe farther that this is likely to be well administered for a course of years and can only end in despotism, as other forms have done before it. When the people should become so corrupted as to need despotic government, being incapable of any other. I doubt also whether any other convention we can obtain may be able to make a better constitution. For when you assemble a number of men to have the advantage of their joint wisdom, you inevitably assemble with those men all their prejudices, their passions, their errors of opinion, their local interest, and their selfish views. From such an assembly, can a perfect production be expected? It therefore astonishes me, sir, to find this system approaching so near to perfection as it does. End quote. Now, with the document written, it then fell upon the people of this country to either accept or reject the plan. In Federalist Paper number 2, John Jay wrote, quote, "When the people of America reflect that they are now called upon to decide a question which, in its consequences, must prove one of the most important that has ever engaged their attention, the propriety of their taking a very comprehensive as well as a very serious view of it all will be evident." Well, we, and by we I mean generations of America, have dishonored the sacrifices which made it possible to live in a nation whose government was designed to safeguard our liberty. We have failed in the simple task of understanding how our system of government was set up and the limits imposed upon it. Yes, I said limits. We have taken for granted the fact that it exists and that it can and will enact laws regarding matters which are not to be found among the powers specifically granted them by the Constitution. We whimper, we whine, we complain about the abuses of powers by our government, but we continue to let them pass more laws which only serve to make matters worse while limiting our freedom. If people would only take the time to understand how this system of government was designed to operate, then they would see that government is the problem, not the solution. Thank you, Mr. Reagan. My friends, prior to the original 13 states or colonies accepting the Constitution, three men, Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and John Jay, wrote their own version of Constitution for Dummies. What was called the Federalist Papers. They were written to go through the proposed Constitution with a fine-tooth comb and alleviate any fears the people may have had about an all-powerful government which would strip the states and them of their newly gained liberty. In Federalist 84, the guy whose image is depicted on the $10 bill, the one that Aaron Burr killed in a duel, they called them duels back then. That was polite terminology. 100 years later, they called them gunfights. Alexander Hamilton said, quote, "The truth is, after all the declamations we have heard, that the Constitution is itself, in every national sense, and to every useful purpose, a Bill of Rights. And the proposed Constitution, if adopted, will be the Bill of Rights of the Union." End quote. You see, our government was designed to be a delicate balance of power, distributed between the government as an individual entity, the members of the House, who would be representatives of the people, the Senate, who would represent the states themselves. Now, to tinker with the structure of our government would be to grant one branch more power than it was envisioned that they have. And to allow one branch to exceed the powers given it would lead to tyranny and despotism. Federalist 47, James Madison, defined tyranny for us by saying that the accumulation of all powers, legislative, executive, and judiciary, in the same hands, whether of one, a few, or many, and whether hereditary, self-appointed, or elective, may justly be pronounced the very definition of tyranny. Aha! And so you see, in the words of James Madison, we begin to realize that America truly has fallen under the iron fist of tyranny. Federalist 48. In regards to ensuring that no one branch would overstep its authority, Madison continued to write when he said, "What this security ought to be is the great problem to be solved. Will it be sufficient to mark with precision the boundaries of these departments in the constitution of the government and to trust these parchment barriers against the encroaching spirit of power?" Well, instead of boring you with my thoughts, I will bore some of you with the thoughts and the words of those three august gentlemen. Yeah, one of my question is gentlemanliness, but he did have a vision that in the early days was well worth it. And so instead of boring you for the next 40 minutes with my thoughts, my intention is to provide you with a few chosen quotes taken directly from the Federalist Papers. After all, it was the original dummy's guide to the Constitution. Hopefully, we will cause some people to question the actions of their government. And if we can do that, we will have achieved our goal this evening. We'll be back.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generations.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
I'd like to get you on a sailboat to China, all to myself.
Alone. Oh.
To get you and keep you in.
I don't know about the slow boat to China stuff. Maybe a slow boat to Argentina. But China's already boating to us. Welcome back. Before we continue with our Constitution for Dummies lesson for today, I think there's much in the words of the founders. I share these things with you because I think in part and parcel, if you begin to look at some of the things that we've been doing here on the program over the last week or so, I begin to, along with Roger's visitations, the things he's talking about, the understandings of being a natural citizen or a citizen of the United States, et cetera, et cetera. We take a look at our piece on Josie Wales, the economics that we did on Friday. We take a look at the series that we're currently running on Republic Trading Group, international.com. And now this, all of these things tie together. They all are so integral to one another that it's unbelievable. Simply amazing. I don't understand your comment. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's the one. Anyway, sharing with you tonight a little bit of Constitution for Dummies, but before we get back to it, please remember that Wednesday night Roger Sales will be back with us with more discussion. It's amazing. The more he and I work together as professionals, not just as friends, it is amazing the information that is coming out. More and more people coming out of the woodworks that are taking a stand, following the guidance that Roger has given them. More and more columns and articles continue to come to each one of us that we're constantly shooting back and forth to one another that are dealing very much in a roundabout way. Look at in John's last hour, this whole discussion about this, the new terrorists in America are the so-called sovereigns. The real sovereigns are not the terrorists, baby. It's the other side. John Jay in Federalist Number 4, and understand what the Federalist Papers were. For all practical purposes, they were op-eds. They were letters to the editor of a publication, and it began a point and counterpoint. When you have these three gentlemen, Jay and Madison and Hamilton, who were supportive of the constitutional side, and then there were the anti-Federalist Papers who would respond to their commentary with opposing views, which were more in favor of the Articles of Confederation, and albeit each had both pros and cons. So John Jay, in one of his earlier offerings, Federalist Number 4, stated, "But the safety of the people of America against dangers from foreign force depends not only on their forbearing to give just causes of war to other nations, but also on their placing and continuing themselves in such a situation as not to invite hostility or insult. For it need not be observed that there are pretended as well as just causes of war." It is too true, however disgraceful it may be to human nature, that nations in general will make war whenever they have a prospect of getting anything by it. Nay, absolute monarchs will often make war when their nations are to get nothing by it. But for the purposes and objects merely personal, such as thirst for military glory, revenge for personal affronts, ambition, or private compacts to aggrandize or support their particular families or partisans. These and a variety of other motives, Jay continues, which affect only the mind of the sovereign, often lead him to engage in wars not sanctified by justice or the voice and interests of his people, but independent of these inducements to war, which are more prevalent in absolute monarchies, but which well deserve our attention. There are others which affect nations as often as kings, and some of them will, on examination, be found to grow out of our relative situation and circumstances. Alexander Hamilton, Federalist Number 8. Yeah, and I probably could break this up and comment, but I look at Jay's commentary, and I look at all the various wars that we're involved with right now, the fact that we've got military stationed in 150-odd nations around the world, if there are that many nations. I suppose 85 of them were found in Africa alone. I'm teasing, of course, but it seems that way. But look at the wars we're involved with. Look how we got sucked into World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam. Gulf of Tonkin, my assets. Daddy Bush's war. Desert Storm. Junior Bush's wars. And now look at Barack Obama ran on the premise of getting us out of that region of the world, and all we've done is compound our efforts. Stay with us when we come back. We're going to return to the Sawbuck guy.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth. Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232, 1-800-963-0232, 1-800-963-0232.
Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Welcome back to Constitution for Dummies 101. Alexander Hamilton in Federalist Number 8 stated that safety from external danger is the most powerful director of national conduct. Even the ardent love of liberty will, after a time, give way to its dictates. The violent destruction of life and property incident to war, the continual effort and alarm attendant on a state of continual danger will compel nations the most attached to liberty to resort for repose and security to institutions which have a tendency to destroy their civil and political rights. To be more safe, they at length become willing to run the risk of being less free. Madison in Federalist 10. By a faction, I understand a number of citizens, whether amounting to a majority or a minority of the whole, who are united and actuated by some common impulse of passion or of interest, adverse to the rights of other citizens or to the permanent and aggregate interest of the community. Liberty is to faction what air is to fire, an ailment without which it instantly expires. But it could not be less folly to abolish liberty, which is essential to political life because it nourishes faction, than it would be to wish the annihilation of air, which is essential to animal life because it imparts to fire its destructive agency. Madison once again in Federalist 14. In the first place, it is to be remembered that the general government is not to be charged with the whole power of making and administering laws. Let me redo that. In the first place, it is to be remembered that the general government is not to be charged with the whole power of making and administering laws. Its jurisdiction is limited to certain enumerated objects which concern all the members of the republic, but which are not to be attained by the separate provisions of any. the subordinate governments, which can extend their care to all those other subjects which can be separately provided for, will retain their due authority and activity. Things begin to come together now, don't they? Hamilton, Federalist 23rd, or the Federalist number 23. This inquiry will naturally divide itself into three branches. The objects to be provided for by the federal government, the quantity of power necessary to the accomplishment of those objects, the persons upon whom that power ought to operate. Its distribution and organization will more properly claim our attention under the succeeding head. And Hamilton again in Federalist 26. It was a thing hardly to be expected that in a popular revolution, the minds of men should stop at that happy mean which marks this salutary boundary between power and privilege and combines the energy of government with the security of private rights. A failure in this delicate and important point is the great source of the inconveniences we experience. And if we are not cautious to avoid a repetition of the error in our future attempts to rectify and ameliorate our system, we may travel from one chimerical point to another. We may try to change. We may try change after change, but we shall never be likely to make any material change for the better. Hamilton once again, and Hamilton really was the chief architect of the Federalist Papers. He was the most vociferous. He stated in Federalist 28, if the representatives of the people betray their constituents, then there is no resource left but in the exertion of that original right of self-defense, which is paramount to all positive forms of government, and which, against the usurpations of the national rulers, may be exerted with infinitely better prospect of success than against those of the rulers of an individual state. Now, in regards to taxing for the general welfare clause, James Madison in Federalist 41 stated, but what color could the objection have when a specification of the objects alluded to by these general terms immediately follows and is not even separated by a longer pause than a semicolon? If the different parts of the same instrument ought to be so expounded as to give meaning to every part which will bear it, shall one part of the same sentence be excluded altogether from a share in the meaning? And shall the more doubtful and indefinite terms be retained in their full extent, and the clear and precise expressions be denied any signification whatsoever? For what purpose could the enumeration of particular powers be inserted if these and all others were meant to be included in the preceding general power? Nothing is more natural nor common than first to use a general phrase and then to explain and qualify it by a recital of particulars. Well, personally, I don't find any of that having to do with the general welfare clause. But maybe it does, and I'm not reading into it. Could be. James Madison in Federalist 45. The powers delegated by the proposed Constitution to the federal government are few and defined. Those which are to remain in the state governments are numerous and indefinite. The former will be exercised principally on external objects such as war, peace, negotiation, foreign commerce, with which last the power of taxation will, for the most part, be connected. The powers reserved to the several states will extend to all the objects which, in the ordinary course of affairs, concern the lives, liberties, and properties of the people and the internal order, improvement, and prosperity of the state. Whatever happened to that part? Whatever happened to that part? The powers reserved of the several states will extend to all the objects which, in the ordinary course of their affairs, concern the lives, liberties, and properties of the people. Madison again in Federalist 51. It may be a reflection on human nature that such devices should be necessary to control the abuses of government. But what is government itself? But the greatest of all reflections on human nature. If men were angels, no government would be necessary. If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. But in framing a government which is to be administered by men, over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed. And in the next place, oblige it to control itself. Well, unfortunately, the government is controlling the people, though, not the government. Madison continues in Federalist 51 by saying, it is of great importance in a republic not only to guard the society against the oppression of its rulers, but to guard one part of the society against the injustice of the other part. Different interests necessarily exist in different classes of citizens. If a majority be united by a common interest, the rights of the minority will be insecure. Justice is, in fact, the end of government. It is the end of civil society. It ever has been and ever will be pursued until it be obtained, or until liberty be lost in the pursuit. Justice is the end of government. It is the end of civil society. If ever it ever has been and ever will be pursued until it be obtained or until liberty be lost in the pursuit. This statement makes more sense to me than almost all of it because it shows the direction of the courts in this country, those who are supposed to elicit justice, not just us. And they're not doing it. And therefore, justice is the end of government. Oh, it temporarily buys time for government to survive, but eventually, you know, little blood, tree of liberty, all that kind of stuff. Madison in Federalist 62 goes on to pontificate by stating, it is equally unnecessary to dilate on the appointment of senators by the state legislatures. Among the various modes which might have been devised for constituting this branch of government, that which has been proposed by the convention is probably the most congenial with public opinion. It is recommended by the double advantage of favoring a select appointment and of giving to the state government such an agency in the formation of the federal government as must secure the authority of the former and may form a convenient link between the two systems. Another advantage accruing from this ingredient in the Constitution of the Senate is that the additional impediment it must prove against improper acts of legislation, no law or resolution can now be passed without the concurrence first of a majority of the people and then of a majority of the states. Interesting, is it not? You see, in the old days, your senators were appointed. I don't think I'd want to see that done today, because that means every Republican government would only send Republican senators and every Democrat or, you know what I'm going. Hamilton, Federalist 69. The President of the United States would be an officer elected by the people for 4 years. The King of Britain is a perpetual and hereditary prince. The one would be amenable to personal punishment and disgrace. The person of the other is sacred and inviolable. The one would have a qualified negative upon the acts of the legislative body. The other has an absolute negative. The one would have a right to command the military and naval forces of the nation. The other, in addition to this right, possesses that of declaring war and of raising and regulating fleets and armies by his own authority. The one would have a concurrent power with a branch of the legislature and the formation of treaties. The other is the sole possessor of the power of making treaties. The one would have a like concurrent authority in appointing to offices. The other is the sole author of all appointments. The one can confer no privileges whatsoever. The other can make denizens of aliens, noblemen of commoners, can erect corporations with all the rights incident to corporate bodies. The one can prescribe no rules concerning the commerce or currency of the nation. The other is in several respects the arbiter of commerce. And in this capacity can establish markets and fairs, can regulate weights and measures, can lay embargoes for a limited time, can coin money, can authorize or prohibit the circulation of foreign coin. The one has no particle of spiritual jurisdiction. The other is the supreme head and governor of the national church. What answer shall we give to those who would persuade us that things so unlike resemble one another? The same that ought to be given to those who tell us that a government, the whole power of which would be in the hands of the elective and periodical servants of the people, is an aristocracy, a monarchy, a despotism. You begin to see the commingling of our so-called presidency, the elected office, allegedly by the people, and the monarchy. They tend to meld together after over two centuries, do they not? Things that the Constitution does not allow the resident of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue to do, he continues to do more so and more so by a dictum of executive order and presidential directives. Hamilton in the Federalist 78. There is no position, he says, which depends on clearer principles than that every act of a delegated authority, contrary to the tenor of the commission under which it is exercised, is void. No legislative act, therefore, contrary to the Constitution, can be valid. To deny this would be to affirm that the deputy is greater than his principal, that the servant is above his master, that the representatives of the people are superior to the people themselves, that men acting by virtues of powers may do not only what their powers do not authorize, but what they forbid. It is not otherwise to be supposed that the Constitution would intend to enable the representatives of the people to substitute their will to that of their constituents. It is far more rational to suppose that the courts were designed to be an intermediate body between the people and the legislature in order to, among other things, keep the latter within the limits assigned to their authority. The interpretation of laws is the proper and peculiar province of the courts. A constitution is, in fact, and must be regarded by the judges as a fundamental law. Nor does this conclusion by any means suppose a superiority of the judicial to the legislative power. It only supposes that the power of the people is superior to both, and that where the will of the legislature, declared in its statutes, stands in opposition to that of the people, declared in the Constitution, the judges ought to be governed by the latter rather than the former. They ought to regulate their decisions by the fundamental laws rather than by those which are not fundamental. Alexander Hamilton, once again in Federalist 84. The truth is, after all the declamations we have heard, that the Constitution is itself, in every rational sense and to every useful purpose, a bill of rights. And the proposed Constitution, if adopted, will be the bill of rights of the Union. It is one object of a bill of rights to declare and specify the political privileges of the citizens in the structure and administration of the government. This is done in the most ample and precise manner in the plan of the convention, comprehending various precautions for the public security, which are not to be found in any of the state constitutions. My friends, I know that which we've attempted to share with you over this past 40-odd minutes is boring as hell to some. That's exactly why we're in trouble in this nation. We don't read. We don't even go to the bookstore and buy the book Constitution for Dummies. We all think we're Fred G. Sanford's son. Hey, dummy! You think you can't understand it? If you don't put forth the effort, you'll not understand it. that which we have shared with you tonight is probably just as complex to some as it is simple to understand for others. I know this is a lot of material to digest. Jesus, Bennett, that takes work. It takes effort. Anything worth gaining and holding on to takes work and takes effort and takes sacrifice. Did you know there were 85 Federalist Papers, each of which contains valuable information if you are to understand how our Constitution was supposed to govern the actions of our government? My point in sharing all of this with you is to prove without a doubt that our government no longer exists as it was intended. It has assumed powers it was never intended they assume. It has deprived us of rights it was intended to protect, and it has decided that it alone is the sole decider of its power and authority. I received an email at the bottom of the hour break from Dennis Craig. Dennis has been appearing on another network with the well-known Alfred Adask. Dennis states that on June 25th, 1948, I was 4 months old. Truman, Harry Truman, you know, the clothing salesman, signed into presumptive effect 170 political acts appearing as law, thereby abandoning the constitutional republic of the United States of America, that's with a small u, and created the appearance of reality of a federal republic being called the United States of America. No, I'm sorry. Let's back up. Thereby abandon the constitutional republic of the United States of America, created the appearance of reality of a federal republic being called United States of America, which does not exist as a matter of law. Part of it is what you read. Remember Roger and I talked about this, words, the meaning of words, how they're used to disrupt your thought process, to get you to think in another direction. That which I've shared with you tonight is posted in its entirety without the edited side comments on my website, federalobserver.com. It is written by a brilliant writer, a man who was never trained as a writer, but he's a historical student like nothing you've ever read, Neil Ross. The column is entitled Neil's Guide to the U.S. Constitution. Neil concludes by saying that people wonder why I get so mad, so stressed out over all of this. He says if Jefferson and George Mason and Patrick Henry and Samuel Adams were alive today, they'd either have started another revolution or been hung for spreading treasonous propaganda against their government. Neil says, I also hope that wherever those men are, they're looking down upon, in particular, Neil's efforts with approval. Because Neil says he doesn't really give a rat's ass what the people of this country today think of him, as it is their ignorance and apathy that allow our government to continue to abuse its power and restrict all of our rights. And for that, Neil concludes, I've got just about the same amount of respect for them as I do for those traitors in D.C. who deserve to be hung. Nada. Nothing. Zip. Absolutely zero respect. Read the complete column in your own time. I strongly urge you to do so. Neil's Guide to the U.S. Constitution. Now, we've got but a couple of minutes. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be back up with John and Bob Chavin and Mr. Noel. Hope you're tuning in to Robbie's show. It's worthwhile. It's one of the few times of the day that so long as I'm here, I actually tune into it. Roger Sales will be joining me Wednesday. And Thursday, a very special guest named Ramsey Baroud. America shocks me. Like everything else in America, there seem to be split down the middle as to one's opinions. If I post columns that are in support of Israel, I, of course, get chastised as being one of them, one of those phony Judeo-Christians. If I publish columns that maybe support the other side of the issue, the Palestinian side, people don't seem to care. All, you know, people just like to rag on the Jews, rag on Israel, rag on Zionism. Well, it's great to rag on them if you got your facts put together. My guest Thursday night will be Ramzi Baruth, a man who is, in effect, he is Muslim. Now, don't start ragging on the Muslims. You better listen to what the man's got to say. I've known Ramzi through his writings and his publications at the Federal Observer, those that he posts with us, for a number of years now. I think I've grown to understand him quite well. You begin to understand a man who's been basically evicted and barred from gaining entry into the land where he was born and raised. Seems he went off and got educated. They didn't want educated people back there. They blocked him from coming back to his own country, but recently he was allowed to gain access. He went home for 2 weeks. When Robbie was on last week and made some reference to the fact that you really can't go home again, Ramzi did go home again. Things are not always going to be the same. Some of the changes are worse, and they're not good, and others are better. Whether you're sitting down to break bread with your former friends or your former enemies, doesn't matter. I want to bring you the opposite side of all that we hear going on in Israel, in Gaza, Jerusalem, the so-called kingdom of heaven. It's going to be a busy week. Hope you'll stay with us throughout the week. Now, I had a real unusual little silver offering to make tonight, but we have no time. We'll add it in there tomorrow, up on the website, as part of this week's special offering. These are neat silver pieces, and the price is screamingly good. I got to head on out of here. I'm going to dinner with some good folks from Gold Star Trust Company, the firm that I work with on the IRAs. So they're in town for one night. They're buying the dinner. I'm out of here. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The next round of the